What's up? This is MC Lars. You are listening to Journey into Comics.
You!
And here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics, a podcast about comic books, video games, movies, television, and everything nerd, with your hosts, Nate Phillips and Brandon Stone.
You're gonna see some serious shit.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Journey into Comics podcast. The show up all about comic books, TV, video games, movies, and everything nerd. I am one of your hosts, Brando, joined with me today by the power of the awesome and yet complicated internet, my wonderful, wonderful co-host and Journey into Comics founder, Nate Phillips.
Brother Nero! How's it going, Brando?
It's going pretty good, dude. We had a little bit of technical difficulties getting our little show here put together for tonight, and hopefully we have no problems. Internet on kind of both sides are kind of being wonky a little bit, so if you hear Nate cut out or him pretending to hear me and then reply, and it kind of makes no sense, that is exactly why. And but this is a show. We gotta put this show out every week without fail. So we must persevere and move on. Nate. Buddy,
yeah, bud, what's up?
I think I may have just seriously messed myself up.
Why?
On Sunday, I was feeling a little sore, a little tender, you know what I mean? I don't know what I did. Like, not to get a little too TMI in the groin area.
Okay, you maybe pulled some musculars.
I may have pulled some musculars. And I'm like, man, this kind of hurts. And then it's like the next day, it's like, man, my bladder hurts a lot. And I'm like, oh no, because on last Friday when we got done doing Journey to Comics, I went and I relieved myself and had a bathroom break, and I got a shooting pain right in my kidney. And I'm like, oh no, okay, not enough water. I get it, dude. I get it. Sorry, I'll go drink some right away, pal. And then I'm thinking, oh no, kidney stone. Oh no, kidney stone. And then I'm like, but I'm not feeling any kidney stone. Oh no, UTI. Oh no, UTI. So I go to the doctor on Tuesday. And no UTI, no kidney stone. And he gives me this stuff. I told him I was a little constipated on Sunday, right? And really, okay. I think it was just because of how uncomfortable the pain was. I was just a little constipated. And he gave me this stuff. And literally the sheet says, take 10 once one day. And I'm like, 10 what? 10 bottles of this? Like, laxative? I'm like, no, that can't be. But it says 10 fluid ounces, right?
Okay.
And so I go get the stuff. I get home, and I chug this shit. All right? And let me just tell you, I want to thank Journey to Comics friend and contributor, Dick Blaine-Tyner. This week, of course, we worked together, and this week he was offline doing team leader duty stuff because he is sort of like the backup when the team leader is gone. That's what he signed up for. And, I was lucky that he knew all my jobs because almost once an hour I was in the bathroom.
Oh boy. Oh.
All day, dude. All right. Now, let me just say, I'm starting to feel better, but I'm still tender. And like, it's not just like in my groin, but it's also like in like what I feel like is like my lower intestine.
Ugh.
So I kind of feel like I may have a hernia of some sorts. I'm not a doctor. I don't know this stuff. But I do seem better. And so I'm trying not to push myself and trying not to do anything too exertive. The problem is I'm starting to feel better. So I'm starting to move like I normally move. Which I probably shouldn't be moving and climbing and jumping over the baby gates like, you know, like a 21-year-old when I'm, almost going to be 31 this year. I need to be a little. I need to remember, and it's something that got buried into my head. Man, I'm not invincible. I'm getting to the point where, like, my body is starting to break down. My eyes, I've had bouts with sciatica. I've had, my feet and my knees. I've been working hard for 10 years, and it's taking a toll. And it's like I got to slow down a little bit. and learn how to take better care of my body and not just be so gung-ho. I can go do anything because I'm starting to realize, bro, I can't.
Yeah. Not to take away from the drama that you've incurred, but interestingly enough, I have an injury story as well, and it's kind of in the same area. So it's funny that you bring this up, completely unrelated. We didn't know we were going to be talking about this today. It's not even on the rundown. I can screenshot that shit for our audience. But this has been a very busy week for Walk Among Us. That's, you know, kind of my bread and butter right now. And we had a show on Saturday at this past Saturday. We had Battle of the Bands. We took second place, which was awesome. We had one day off, and then we played in Chicago at Martyrs on Monday. And then now we're going to tomorrow, which is Saturday, or 2 days ago, depending on when this episode goes up, which was Saturday, March 4th, we're going to play Chicago again. But between the two shows we did in 3 days, I have put a bruise that I would say is probably the size of a softball on my inner thigh from my drumstick constantly poking my leg. And I mean, it looks like I got like smashed with a hammer in my inner thigh, you know? Or that I'm really packing so much heat that I've just bruised my inner thigh, you know? Just from drumming, I guess. But the reality is, it's definitely the drumsticks. It's been something I've been kind of working on. But, yeah, the bruise is pretty gnarly. It's a bunch of different purples and greens, and I'm just like, whoa.
Yeah, dude.
Make sure.
Sucks to hear about that, man, because, you know, we kind of talked about this maybe a little while ago, maybe I don't know how many episodes ago now, but the realities of getting older, the realities of, like, 10 years ago, it was like, dude, that was 2007, right? So, like, where were we 10 years ago, you know? Like, at this point 10 years ago, I was planning out the final phases of getting moved over here to Indiana and dragging our good friend Silent Rob with me all the way. And then, like, it was like near the end of the year is the first time that me and you kind of reconvened after like a long hiatus of being away from each other. So it's kind of weird. It's like that long ago, you know,
but then it's weird too. I remember, just really quick to throw a little fun detail out there, I was playing Assassin's Creed during the first time you and I had spoken like a couple years. And I think we talked for something like 2 hours, probably should have just done a podcast.
Oh, no, it was more than 2 hours because it was multiple days.
Oh, yeah, we talked several days in a row, but I'm just talking that initial day.
Oh, no, yeah, it was. I mean, we had a lot to talk about, though. I mean, we had a lot of ground to cover, and I really hope that we can get over our injuries and be ready to go, because in 1 month's time is LaFeeCon, where we will be hosting all the proceedings, panels, and a live version of our show. I don't know what episode that's going to be. I haven't done the calculations on that. Let me do that while you're talking here.
Okay, yeah, so let's talk about that real quick. That LaFeeCon weekend's going to be excellent. It's going to be very busy, packed full of stuff. We're going to be doing panels. We're going to be doing little interviews here and there with the crowd, doing giveaways and stuff that they've got us doing. It's going to be really neat. It's like stepping into the light, or into the life of like Chris Hardwick for a day, and just doing that on a smaller scale. You know, we are going to essentially be the voice of LaFeeCon, and it's a great honor to have that. I'm going to guess, just while Brandon's looking at this number, I'm going to say like 131 is the number.
You're close. It's 132, I do believe, because yeah, this episode is 128. It will be going up on Monday the 6th, is when you guys will be hearing this, and then 129 is the 13th, 130 is the 20th, and then on the 27th is like the Monday before, the which we'll record that with that week prior. That'll be 131. So then on the 1st, when we do our live show, it'll go up on Monday the 3rd. Which that's when all you guys who decide not to come see us, if you're too far away or in another country, which, I mean, come on, man, we understand that. But those of you who want, or you guys will be hearing that on the 3rd, that'll be 132, which is kind of like, it's been over 30 episodes since our last live show.
Which is crazy to think about. That's like about half the year,
yeah,
a little more than. But you know what? It's cool because this one's so different, I think. Going into this con feels, I don't know how to even describe it to you, Brando. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, but it's like a well-oiled machine, it seems.
Yes.
You know? And to think, I'm pretty sure Villains Con, the one we just did, was in its 3rd year.
It was.
And that's an interesting coincidence because, Brando, I'm just going to go out there and say it. LaFeeCon's been going for 3 years. Journey into Comics has been going for 3 years. We're going to be hosting. That's pretty cool, I think. I think that this is going to be really great for us. But let's get into some of this news. Unless you had anything else to add, Brando, I didn't want to cut you off.
Well, you just cut me right off, didn't you? One thing I did want to say is that next week is what we're looking to hope to be, as long as we can all make it, is the return of Journey into Wrestling, our wrestling side podcast that if you subscribe to Journey into Comics, you get that show, you get this show, Journey into Comics, and Foodies Watching Movies, all in one podcast feed. So you get like a whole bunch of different styles of different types of shows. Journey into Wrestling, hopefully coming back next week, where we'll be looking at like the last full month of events, goings-ons, news, results, and then looking up to kind of what's coming up, right, you know, in like a month's time towards WrestleMania. So if you're into wrestling at all, please check out that show, which that, since Journey into Comics is now coming out on Monday, we'll probably, when we record that, which is usually Thursdays, Nate, I want to say, usually Wednesday or Thursday when we do JIW. So
yeah, that's usually when it falls best for us, I would say.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to shoot for a Friday release for JIW next week. Of course, if this is Monday, you'll be listening to this. At the end of the week, stay tuned. Hopefully there's JIW there. We need to get with our good buddy Patrick, get him back on the show. We miss him terribly, and we want to get him in here. And, man, we've got some news to cover.
Boy, do we ever. Just to quickly brief that, we have the Hardys gone from TNA, it seems.
Drew Galloway gone from TNA, it seems.
I mean, there's just like, I mean, there are people who aren't even on the roster that have gotten released from the roster or asked for their release from the roster.
And they now have new rosters. They now have a new world champion.
Now, I did not know that. Who's their world champ?
Alberto El Patron.
Really? Del Rio did, in fact, sign.
He did, and made his debut at the taping, which will air as you're listening to this. Well, if you're listening to this as it comes out this week on Impact. And also, they brought in Bruce Pritchard, and he is back as an on-air talent. And seems like he might be a mouthpiece for, I've heard, for Bobby Lashley going forward.
And, oh, cool.
Bruce has had a really successful podcast. Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard is in the month of February, they had over 3 million downloads alone. And, that's it. And they had like almost 2 million in January. They almost doubled their numbers, you know, it's crazy.
Woo!
And, things are going good there. They've announced that the name TNA is dead. It's gone. People online are still referring to it as TNA, but apparently going forward, they're just going to be using the name Impact. We got to talk about Josh Matthews this week, all the bullshit going on with him, and then apparently at the tapings.
Tom Phillips.
Oh, God, yeah, we'll talk about that. that creepy stuff going on. Apparently, Josh Matthews was on the show, and this may just be an angle. I don't know, because also live on the show, they buried the Dixie Carter era big time, and they buried Josh Matthews in like the stuff that he's been doing online and being a complete jerk to people and saying stupid shit. And then Jeremy Borash is now the full-time new lead announcer, apparently.
Wow, bring him Borash back.
I mean, Borash has been in there. He's never left the company, but as far as like he's had other roles.
Yeah, he hasn't been in the spotlight, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say he was always on commentary for like the Explosion show that they did mainly for overseas TV, and they did sign a new deal with Spike UK. And they'll be airing Impact all the pay-per-views over there on that channel. But a lot of new, and here's the thing is that, and this is kind of like a little bit of a preview of what I want to ask you guys. And so don't really answer this, Nate. We'll save this for the Journey to Wrestling show.
Sure.
We've all said that TNA's dead. TNA's done. Stick a fork in her, you know? Why keep bothering? But could this potentially be the early events of like a phoenix rising from the ashes, you know? I'll just say in brief, I'm not going to fully answer it. I kind of feel like it's too early to tell, but it's promising.
That's all I will say, too, for now. Sure. Yeah.
Definitely looking forward to Journey and Wrestling this week. I'm so excited to talk about wrestling with you and Pad and getting ready to get back onto that show. But we've got stuff to talk about here on Journey to Comics.
Man, I tell you what, it's not like it's been busy the past couple days or so in the comic book world news. But there have been some things kind of going on. We did get the Inhumans cast officially announced. I have that pulled up actually. Maybe I have it pulled up. Let's see. My phone doesn't want to agree with me. We have a list, a slew of actors. We know who's playing who. Really exciting. The Inhumans are great. But we have, here's the cast. Emmy Ikwarakor from Concussion looks to be playing Gorgon. Isabel Cornish from Australia Day, I don't know what that is playing Crystal. Mike Moe from Empire is going to be playing Triton. We've got Sonia Balmores playing Auran. And there's also going to be a mystery character, which they assume is Walgam, respectively, who will be joining Iwan Rowan, who's obviously Ramsay in Game of Thrones, and he was also Simon in the Misfits TV show. I don't know if you ever saw that, Brando.
I did not.
That show's really cool. I think you would love it. It's just these misfit punk, not punk like punk rock, but they're just like jackass motherfucking kids. And there's an event that happens, and then they all get superpowers based on personality traits, and it's so interesting. Iwan's character in that show feels invisible his whole life. He's like the outcast kid. So when the event happens, his ability is to become invisible. And he kind of exploits that, and there's some pretty dark shit that happens with that character. But he's going to be playing Maximus the Mad. Anson Mount, I feel like I just saw, like, Hell on Wheels, I think is the name of the show. Yeah, he's the lead character from that. He's actually playing Black Bolt. Interesting, Black Bolt does not speak. And then we've got Sarinda Swan playing Medusa and Ken Leung playing Karnak in The Inhumans. Looks like this is a huge cast of characters. Obviously, Lockjaw's going to be on the series. They'll probably have to have him as a CGI character since he's, you know, a 2,000-pound canine. I don't think they have one of those just lying around in real Hollywood. But I think that what they're doing is the first two episodes for The Inhumans, like the kickoff event, is going to be able to be seen in theaters. And they're shooting it in IMAX.
Awesome. That's pretty cool. Now, this is going to be airing on AMC or ABC?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought, which is, I want to say, like, originally they talked about The Inhumans. Was that going to be on, like, some other network? Is it on Netflix or FX?
No, it was going to probably stay on whatever channel S.H.I.E.L.D. is on, which okay. I think is ABC, because yeah. It spawned out of the S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Okay.
towards the end of season two, and then the story evolves in season three, they find the obelisk that starts to essentially, it's like, I don't know what the word is. It's like, essentially it's unlocked stasis, and it starts to create all these Inhumans. like that everyone could be an Inhuman on Earth. You just don't know in that in S.H.I.E.L.D. anyways. And when this thing, the Terrigen, that's what it's called, the Terrigen Mist happens, all of a sudden, boom, you might be an Inhuman and never knew it because it was suppressed from you your whole life. And that's kind of where they took the show. So it made sense for them to keep it with whatever channel S.H.I.E.L.D. is on. It would not surprise me, though, if it ends up not doing so well on ABC and ends up getting picked up by Netflix. I just, early tip, I obviously haven't seen it, but that's something I could absolutely see happening.
Iron Fist starts this month, doesn't it?
I think the 17th or the 20th, something like that.
Well, they usually come on like a Friday, right? 17th?
Yeah, I think it's the 17th. Yeah. I feel like it.
Yeah, usually those shows come out on Friday because they want people to be able to like weekend binge them.
Yeah, absolutely. Weekend binging. I started binging a new show on Netflix, Brando, to kind of tangent.
Mm.
Ultimate Beastmaster. It's actually really badass. It's a really extremely difficult obstacle course based show. They sell it as a Sylvester Stallone show. He's literally in it for the first 30 seconds of the first episode to like say, "This is Ultimate Beastmaster." And then he's not on the show again that I've seen so far. Maybe the last episode.
This is Ultimate Beastmaster, and I'm here for a payday. I want to get some money because we don't know if we're doing any, like another Expendables yet. Well, maybe we won't do
Rocky.
Not Rocky. Yeah, I can't do Rocky. I mean, maybe some Rambos or something like that. But yeah, check this show out. I put my name on it. Where's my check?
But it's pretty dope because it's got like Anderson. Essentially, it's countries competing against each other, and it's like two people per country compete per episode, and then whoever gets to the end or whoever has the most points at the end. Goes on to their 9 competitor finale that's at the end of the season for $50,000. But if you win your day, then you get $10,000, which is cool. But each country has their own set of commentators. And that's what's really making the show for me. It's like Terry Crews and some chick. And then like Anderson Silva is one of the Brazilian cast dudes. And these people are hilarious. Like the Korean team, their announced team is amazing. I laugh all the time because they're just so jubilant and reactive when things happen good or bad, you know?
Well, see, you said Anderson like before you started this long statement, right? And for some reason, I thought you were going to say Anderson Cooper. And I just started saying Anderson Cooper run through this long obstacle course. And I'm just like, I hope he circles back around to explain what Anderson Cooper is doing in this. And thankfully, you've set my curiosity at rest, and you said Anderson Silva. So
correct.
I'm like, Anderson yes. Cooper, he's taking a break to go run this obstacle course.
Yes, absolutely. You know, he's the obstacle course runner. But let's kind of move on a little bit here, Brando. Have you happened to see the most recent Guardians trailer, Guardians trailer 3, if it is?
Yes, I did.
Well, let's talk about it, man. What do you think about this trailer?
It looks good. It really, to me, it's shining out the fact that, you know, this is going to be a pretty good sequel. Sequels are always very tricky to do. As far as like keeping the same amount of quality and the same kind of storytelling, because that's really what set the first one apart from any other Marvel flick, you know, that had come out. It really told a good story with its characters. And so it has to continue that trend to be, in my eyes, a successful sequel. It can't just be the same four guys going on another same adventure to save the galaxy again. It has to dive into these characters. And I think that's exactly what we're going to get. And I mean, it looks really good, and I really am looking forward to seeing it. I'm at a little bit of a loss. Like in earlier trailers, we got more Baby Groot, and it's just like it seems like he's gonna be there, but in a much less role. Like I don't know if that makes any sense, but it really seems like he's gonna be somewhat of a nuisance instead of like in the first one. you know, he was just like this ever overpowering creature, like watching over these guys and just can stop anything. But now I wonder how much of a role. Maybe I'm wrong completely, but it just kind of seems like he's just kind of there in this trailer.
You almost have to consider Groot as the reverse Rocket in this movie.
Yeah.
Because he's now the littlest member of the team. And while he might have the most attitude, and we know that from the comic books, that Groot doesn't lose his memory. As long as there's a sliver of Groot left to plant, he can regrow. They did that. They've kept Groot alive. Now he's in his baby phase. That doesn't mean that the whole movie he'll stay baby, because he can grow exponentially if stuff gets really fierce. It just is all based on, you know, fear and adrenaline, essentially. So we have the potential to see many forms of Groot in this movie, but I don't think they need to rush it, honestly. I'm really excited that they brought baby Groot into the fold. One thing I will say, man, honestly, out of all the things, just like the first movie, and we talked about this, you know, when the first trailer for the first movie came out, the soundtrack is automatically captivated me again. I'm in just because he's picking the right songs that make me go, oh, I visually see what you are seeing and hearing. It's like, I feel like James Gunn has synesthesia, where he, you know, hears color or smells sounds, or however you want to look at it, where it's the blending of two different senses. And that's how he creates, is by the music and the visualization to tell a story cohesively, almost to the point where the music in itself is a character of the movie.
Very well said. And a big word, by the way.
What?
The word you said.
Which word?
Seeing colors and sounds.
Oh, synesthesia.
Synesthesia.
Correct. Look it up. It's a real thing. There are some people I know who have it. It's really interesting because, you know, some people, they do. They hear colors. They'll be listening to a piece of music and colors will be happening in their head. People believe that Van Gogh had synesthesia. So.
Pulling teeth?
I see what you did there. Nice Metallica reference. But
I think you've been listening to the Korean announcers a little too much.
Yeah, I want to say something really interesting, Brando. Now, do you remember what kind of blew up on the internet after the first Guardians movie? Like what everybody went out to buy because it was cool to have one again?
A Walkman?
The Walkman, correct. That Walkman, the Sony Walkman, from what I remember, and I might be wrong on this, or maybe have seen skewed prices, but from what I remember, I want to say I saw an article that said it went from, like, it was selling at, like, average of $20 before that movie came out, and it jumped to, like, $400 or 400% or something like that after the movie came out. And I only say that little statistic because, Brando, what I'm about to send you and what I'm going to put on the Journey Into Comics podcast Instagram at Journey Into Comics is something from the Guardians trailer that I already own that might blow up. And this is an early tip for any of you collector types. Look for it because it's cool, it's rare, and it's that thing, Brando. In the very beginning of the trailer, that's his monster tracker. And it's exactly that. Mattel Electronics Football 1, you know?
It'd be interesting if it does kind of blow up as far as how much of a role does this play, you know? Because...
Well,
like, No, I was just going to say, like the whole... Like the Walkman is tied to the music. So it's like... Again, like you were saying, that soundtrack to the first one was so good. It was so magical. It fit. And it's almost like the tape player was a part of that. And so...
Absolutely.
So people wanted that, and that reminded them of the music that was in this movie. And so it, you know, it might blow up and it might become something big, but I guess it depends on like, what kind of a role does it play? Is it going to be... something that you see more than just a few times? Is it going to be a major part of this story?
Yeah. Well, this is what I've kind of gathered from all the trailers. I'm going to quickly blow through this. This is what I kind of see as the outline of Guardians, the movie. So the Guardians are going to probably get hired by that Golden Council of people that you see in the trailer to take out that monster that's at the beginning of the trailer that he's using the football one to track. That is going to go awry. They're going to maybe stop it, but not kill him or something. I don't know. And essentially the council, those gold people are going to be upset. And they're going to hire the Ravagers to then kill the Guardians. But then the Guardians and the Ravagers are going to come to an agreement and realize that, again, the Golden people are not good people and that maybe they should be taken out. And then they will essentially be the big bad of the movie that the Guardians have to team up with the Ravagers to stop that Golden Council, whose names I don't know that I got. So that's the best I got.
Right on. On a side note, there was a news story that came out about Marvel's video games. Did you see this?
They will not tie into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They will be telling their own stories.
They will not be forced to. They can be, but they will not be forced to tie in to what's going on in the cinematic or television universes.
Well, that's nice. It allows for some, creativity that's not just forced because it has to serve the greater picture.
Mm-hmm.
It allows for that makes me even more excited for Sony's Spider-Man game that's coming out.
Yes,
which I mean that looks like it's going to be the Arkham Asylum era of Spider-Man.
I hope so. Exclusive to PS4, by the way.
Yeah, really exciting. I can't wait to get my hands on that. Obviously, you got your hands on something that you're probably going to be talking about. On the next Game Addicts podcast, the new Zelda came out last night at midnight, as well as Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm. I did not get the Switch. I got it for Wii U.
Yeah, wait until the Switch has some, bundled package. They'll probably come out with a Zelda system, let's be fucking honest.
Oh, probably.
Around Black Friday time, usually.
I'm going to be getting
that's how Nintendo
Christmas.
Rolls.
Yeah. I'm going to be getting one around Christmas, and I'm looking to wait until then. Rob got one, so I'll be able to play one very, very soon. So there's that. I'll be able to say my thoughts on the system, give some first impressions. But as far as owning one, I'm going to wait until around then. I get my Christmas bonus from work, and I'm going to buy a Switch and probably buy three or four games. I might get Zelda again, depending on how much I like it. It's getting crazy reviews, Nate. I don't know where it's at on Metacritic. I'm going to look it up. But last night, when I looked up the Metacritic rating, and it was at a 98, and I sent it to Mike and went, holy crap, dude. Last week, we had just talked about how good Horizon was doing at an 88, right? A lot of good reviews there for Horizon. Horizon's doing very well. But then it's holy crap. When I checked again later on, it went Breath of the Wild, the new Zelda game on Wii U and Switch, had gone from 3 perfect scores from IGN, Games Radar, something else, to 37.
Whoa!
And on this article, which we will be talking about over on the Game Addicts podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and YouTube. It says here on Games Radar, Zelda Breath of the Wild is Metacritic's second best Zelda of all time. Can you guess number one?
I'm going to guess they're going to say Ocarina is number one.
Yes, it is. That did not throw you for any loop. I didn't really think that it would. I'm actually going to try.
Well, I was going to alternately say Link to the Past, but
that was a little bit lower, actually. I'm now trying to go find the actual Metacritic page for Breath of the Wild, but I want to say the next one right after that was maybe Twilight Princess. Okay, so we are sitting at a Metascore of 98 still. And let's see how many... it's based on 64 critics, which Ocarina has only has 22 critics, by the way. So, let's go through here. Digital Spy, Cubed, Atomics, Forbes, Dual Shockers, Yahoo, Cheat Code Central, Daily Dot, Trusted Reviews, Games Best, COG Connected, Digital Fix, Telegraph, IB Times UK, Digital Chumps, Spazio Games, Maristation, Game Revolution, US Gamer, Game Rant, Gaming Trend, Giant Bomb, Guardian, Game Informer, Polygon, Games Radar, RPG Site, Nintendo Life, 3D Wagos, I believe that's how you would say that. F Nintendo, or F Nintendo, Gamer.nl, GameSpot, God is Geek, IGN, Metro Game Central, Stevier, Time, Attack of the Fanboy, Destructoid, Edge Magazine, Level Up, WCC, F Tech, XGN, IGN Spain, Happy Consolas, or Hobby Consolas, Multiplayer.it, IGN Natalia. Oh, wait. I started going in like less than 100% reviews. I started going into the 98s, 97s. There's a lot of crazy... lot of crazy reviews for this right now, and on the summary page, interesting here, because the game has only been out for a day, but there's already 1,851 ratings as far as user score, and they have it at a 7.8, and I'm just like, you know what, some people have had it for a little while longer, like they might have got review copies. But man, it's too early to judge just yet. You know, I'm looking forward to playing it and get some real first impressions just to talk about on Game Addicts. I'm really looking forward to it. But this game is doing very well and surprising a lot of people with how well it's reviewing.
Anthony got it, and he told me, he said, "Bro, I was playing the game and you can just walk up to anything and climb it." And he's like, so I went to this tree and I saw some apples in the tree that I wanted. And at first I was like, I'll just cut this fucking tree down. And he's like, wait, no, I can climb the tree, I bet. So he climbed the tree and he got the apples down. He was like, this game is incredible. And he said that they pretty much drop you in the game and don't tell you anything.
That's what I've heard.
And that you're supposed to turn the mini map off. That's all I know when I'm out.
You can also fast track and beat the final boss of the game in 4 minutes.
Wow.
Apparently.
That's crazy.
Yep. But I bought the game on Wii U. Some people are celebrating the birth of a new system with this game, and some are like celebrating the death of one, or mourning the death of one. And that's kind of what I'm doing. I decided not to jump right into the Switch and buy one. I decided to get this for the system that it was originally intended for and close out the Wii U. And I'm pretty sure I'm done collecting for it. I might have one or two stragglers as far as like games I want. I was able to get the Paper Mario game and Yoshi's Woolly World. A few that I had just kind of slacked off on getting over the last year. I have no interest in owning Star Fox because screw that game. I don't like gyro controls. And dude, that game would have been boss if you could turn that shit off, but you can't, so I ain't gonna play it.
F that.
Yeah, no, I think I want Hyrule Warriors and maybe Pokken Tournament, but that might be it, man.
Hyrule Warriors is great. I highly recommend it.
Oh man, I definitely want to play it. I've seen a lot of it. It's just a matter of it's still like going for like 50s in the used category, so I'm like, no.
Yeah. All right, Brando. Well, let's jump out of our mini Game Addicts. We've done a little Journey into Wrestling. We've done a little Game Addicts. Let's kick it back to some DC news here. Now, this is interesting because this is going to tie two worlds together, and it makes me so happy. You're a huge Game of Thrones fan.
Indeed.
I'm a big Gotham fan.
Indeed.
And Gotham. This has been a long series rumor that this year we were getting a Ra's al Ghul story in Gotham. I didn't think they'd jump on it. It's only been a little over, 2 years since, or a year, real, or 2 years since we had, Ra's on Arrow. And then obviously there's been a passing of the guard with the title. But now Prince Oberyn from Game of Thrones is now going to be playing Ra's al Ghul in Gotham. And I could not be happier. I think this is a beautifully chosen casting call. I really don't have so much to say because I haven't seen him yet, but I just, when it was announced, it wasn't even one of those things when you see an announcement for a character and you go, I don't know if that's going to be a good call, or if you go, man, I hope they don't screw that role up. This one was just like, oh, he's going to be amazing. It's going to be great, you know?
Siddig. That's
still with me, Brando?
Yes, I am. I was reading. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Sorry, bud.
Yeah, I loaded up the article that you had sent me about it. Siddig, who plays Prince Doran Martell. Doran.
Oh, he wasn't Prince Oberyn.
Yeah, that's why I opened it up. I'm like, I thought I read that right. He's Prince
Doran. I thought I read it.
So I think
I was just so excited.
Is that Oberyn's brother?
Yeah, the one that gets assassinated by the sisters.
By Oberyn's sister, because Oberyn was having a relationship with a sister. So he's the wheelchair guy.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. And then, so when you said Oberyn, I was like, hold up, let me go back and reread that. Apparently, he was also in 24 at some point. You know what? I mean, it's pretty cool that they're doing a Ra's al Ghul storyline here. A different actor, of course, from the Arrow storyline. I'm a big fan of the character of Ra's, so really interesting to see or hear about what they're going to do with him, because I'm sure you're going to talk about it here, and that's kind of how I watch this show, is just by hearing you talk about it.
I've been really bummed because it just went off the air, and I was like, did they cancel the show? And then I did a little – they're doing two mid-seasons essentially. They took a break from December to January, and then now they're taking another break until April.
That's weird.
It is very weird. I think they don't have enough episodes, and they want to try to get maybe into that May area where Flash and Arrow and Legends and all that will tie up and end. And of course, there's huge implications coming from those shows as well that at some point we could delve into. But Ra's being on this show, I think it's interesting because it says this is from Fox themselves. As Bruce pulls off the veil of the Court of Owls, he finds the man pulling the strings is the enigmatic and powerful Ra's al Ghul. With his past shrouded in mystery, al Ghul used his cunning and deception to lay waste his foes. As the leader of an international crime organization known as the League of Shadows, al Ghul will provide himself to be Bruce's most dangerous adversary yet. And I mean, this is young Bruce Wayne, who's just starting to have the poise within himself to say, I want to fight for what's right and do the right thing. Is starting to now, you know, cross paths with Ra's really early. It's very interesting that they're doing this, but I'm really looking forward to it, honestly, you know?
Hell yeah, man. They've been doing a lot of really unique storytelling over there on Gotham and playing around with the Batman mythos a little bit, and it's always fun to hear about it. As much as you have just seemingly way more time to devote to television than I do, I have to really pick and choose what I watch, when I watch.
Insomnia is real, my friend, and that's what I do when I can't sleep and I can only get 2 or 3 hours in a night, is that I will just force myself to try to watch something. And if I keep up to schedule when shows are already out that I enjoy watching and don't get behind, it's pretty easy because it's just one show a night, or maybe two at the most, you know, and then I watch one during dinner. And then watch one before bed, or if I can't, like I said, if I can't sleep, I'll put one on in the middle of the night. And that's how I do it. It's not like I just sit around doing absolutely nothing. But
see, I have to pick and choose what I do and what I watch. I have.
I think also for you, I think also for you, it comes down to the wife factor, because I know that Caitlin is, and trust me, I understand, but she's very wants to watch the show with you. So if you guys get started on something, you can't just jump ahead and get into it, because she'll be like, hey, don't do that. That's not cool.
Yeah, we'll see. And there's also things where we were watching House of Cards together, and she got pissed off that I was not ready to watch it again, and she just finished it without me. See, and that's the thing, is that, like, me being such a big gamer, that is a big part of what, like, I do with my spare time.
Absolutely.
And so, like, I could literally watch all these shows, but I would never play any games. And I get to points where I do watch shows, you know. I binged through, you know, Stranger Things over Christmas, and I was really, I wanted to watch it when it came out, but I just couldn't get to it. And then I told her I wanted to watch it and set some time away over Christmas and watch it. But then it's like, if I can set a little time away, like, because now I don't watch Walking Dead when it airs. I watch it like the day after, or like sometime during the week. I have to set aside time away to watch Walking Dead, and that takes time away from playing my games or watching whatever, or watching this on YouTube, which is YouTube has taken over a lot of my television time, because I can watch stuff in spurts, you know, like, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, totally.
And I can watch it on my phone, and when I'm ready to turn it off, it's off, and then I can go back to it when I need to. I don't like watching television that way, because I want to get involved. I want to get into these characters, and I feel like watching stuff like that in spurts, I stop caring, and that really gets me out of it. What I did that a little bit with Breaking Bad, where that was a show that I started and stopped. And it wasn't until near the end that we're like the last, very last part of that series is going to start up again. I said, we need to finish this damn thing. We are 2 seasons away from being like done with this. We needed to get this thing going again, damn it. So we like marathon the entire series up until like the last episode. And it was like, I think we were ready for the last episode like the Saturday before the last episode aired.
Oh, that's awesome.
And we had to really gun it to get that done. But man, it just, I thought being on day shift would make watching shows easier. Really? It's made it a little bit more difficult, because I'm at the point now in my life where I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning. And if I'm not asleep by 11, I'm dragging ass. And so I like to be in bed, honestly, around 9. Because usually I don't go to sleep right away. Podcast, I ingest so many podcasts that way. I'll lay there and just have a podcast on, and I'll fall asleep to it. And then I'll wake up in the morning with my phone on my side table going, I must have turned it off. And that's, I listen to a lot of podcasts that way. So it's really interesting how I still take in entertainment, but it's just different entertainment. And it's not like a lack of, but that's part of the reason why I don't like longer television shows anymore, like longer run seasons, is because when I have a shorter run season, a 12 to 16, that means, all right, I've got 8 weeks where I can put aside to watch Walking Dead or Game of Thrones, or when it was Breaking Bad or Dexter or whatever, you know, like whatever I'm watching, but it's for 8 weeks. And after that, guess what? That time is free. I can play more games. I can do more anything I want. And that's honestly how I think about it. I honestly think about Walking Dead as a hindrance sometimes, cutting into my time, even though I enjoy it. And that's just a really weird thing, is that like, that's how I think about my time. It's like, man, I could be playing a game right now. I have like all these games I haven't played, which, by the way, Nate, Bro. Have I told you since the last time that we've talked, I've done a full count of my game collection.
Oh, 732.
Good guess. It has been since right before Wyatt was born that I did I had a count. In fact, on the wipe off board is the last known number, and next to that was a countdown, 6 days till baby. So my official number right now is 815.
Wow.
With my biggest collection being my PS1, I'm up to 138 PS1 titles. And then they go varying. Like I have 6 Game Gear games that I can't play because the Game Gear doesn't work. You know, I've got like my Xbox One collection is relatively small, but my Dreamcast collection is so small because Dreamcast just isn't collectible down here. You know, but I definitely wanted to say that because that's one of the reasons why I came on the show to begin with, was because I collected games, you collected comics, let's talk about collecting. And now we talk about a little bit of everything. And you know what, Nate, and I really want to say this, I really do appreciate you talking about the shows and giving your thoughts on it. And you always try to hold back on spoilers for me, and that's awesome that you think that way. But please don't feel like you have to, because I'll be honest with you, it might take years before I ever get around to watching any of this stuff. So
damn it.
But I do enjoy hearing you talk about it, because I do get enjoyment out of it, because I enjoy the characters. I enjoy the stories of which these characters originated from. So to hear that they're doing so well on television, I almost get to live vicariously through that and hear about these stories and, you know, and have a lot of fun with it, because I mean, it just seems like whenever you think they're done, CW throws out another superhero show.
Or they just reinvent themselves. I mean, this season of The Flash has literally been the reinvention of this show. And, I mean, they're to the point now where they have certain characters who are playing multiple characters that are the same person technically through the multiverse, but they're different variations of that person. And they're, like, literally different actors, but they're the same person. That is a huge thing to say for the people that they're casting on these CW shows. That they can cast people that are good enough to be multiple versions of themselves, you know? I mean, you gotta think that when you lose yourself with a character talking to essentially himself or herself, and you forget that it's the same actor who isn't really talking to anybody and is having to fake it, it just is kind of like mind-blowing. But as a whole, man, the CW shows are doing really good. Supergirl this week was really good. This past week on The Flash, we had the second part of Grodd and Gorilla City. That story wrapped up awesomely. Can't talk about Arrow yet because I'm not caught up, but hopefully I'll be able to do that after this weekend. As I said, Gotham is off air right now. Brando, there was new Walking Dead TV show, wasn't there?
There was.
I have not seen it, Brando.
What?
I had a show and I never got a chance to download it or even think about it till right now. I'm like, oh man, I didn't even watch The Walking Dead yet.
I kind of forgot about it when you didn't put it on the rundown. I didn't even notice.
I just realized, yeah. But before we get there, what did you think? We don't have to spend a lot of time on these next two because it's not a whole lot to discuss. It's like 20 seconds of news. I've spent more time hyping it than in the news itself. First of all, the first superhero movie of the modern era to win a major award is Suicide Squad, winning for best makeup and visual effects. I don't even know how it got nominated, and I don't know why Doctor Strange wasn't nominated, and I also don't know why Guardians was never nominated. Those movies are better movies that deserved actual awards thrown at them, as opposed to Suicide Squad. Like, come on. That's like a 6.1. You just gave a movie that's barely mediocre an Oscar. And then you fucked up the end of the Oscars like you're the WWE and decided to play a whole switch to doozle-roozle to get some fame. We get it. You intentionally gave him the wrong envelope. You created a scandal. People talked. Oh, Lord. What did you think about that, Brando? Suicide Squad wins for best makeup visual effects bullshit.
I didn't think much about it. I mean, I heard about it, and I didn't even give it a second thought. I was like, oh, cool. Next.
And then after that, I got, there's like 7 seconds of Aquaman underwater footage.
Yeah.
It's just test footage. It's not even Momoa. It's just a CG double of Momoa. Doesn't look bad, but it's not really super clear, so it doesn't really tell us a whole hell of a lot. But what did you think about the picture? Pretty good? Cool? Yeah?
I mean, yeah, it looked decent for what they're doing. Just to clarify on the Oscar thing, I have no interest or desire to see superhero movies validated at the Oscars. I don't think the Oscars are worth shit. I don't think they hold any merit towards what's a good film and what's a bad film. It's just like the Grammys, and how the Grammys, I become very disenfranchised with the Grammys. I don't care what they say. You know, it's like when the person who wins Album of the Year has to sit up there and go, what the hell does this chick got to do to win Album of the Year? You know, and she's up there and she broke her damn record off, or broke off part of her award and gave it to Beyonce. I'm talking about Adele. You know,
yeah.
It's like, even the person who won is like, are you serious right now? I won and not her. You know, it's like who decides this crap? And it's just like, literally, okay, Nate, it would be like if me and you started our own award show, and in 50 years, it was so popular that it became, I don't even know what the hell we would call it, you know?
Journey into Awards, yeah. Motherfuckers.
Who wins the best picture for the Journeys, you know, at the Journeys? And it's just like, it's something that somebody started to start giving, you know, awards to people that have become, who cares? I understand that the people who make these films, the people who are in these films, you know, and that's a good feeling to get recognized by peers, by, you know, and to get awarded. But in my position as a fan, as a person who absorbs entertainment, there are films that I like and there's films that I don't like. And then you're going to sit there and tell me that superhero films don't have a place at the Oscars, that they don't deserve to be these other films that are artwork. Motherfucker, who are you to decide what's artwork?
Correct.
You know, who are you to decide what's artwork? Because just as you said, you're telling me that Guardians wasn't nominated for anything. Maybe some special effects or something. But I mean, and I understand it's not the most well acted movie ever. But and then you're telling me that, like, there's so many different movies that you can think of that probably never got nominated for what it probably should have been. And then you have other movies that it's like, oh, okay, yeah, well, of course that movie got nominated, right? And it was like that, like, what was the whole big controversy there for a long, like, oh, DiCaprio never won an Oscar.
Correct. And I always joked that there was going to be somebody that played the documentary of Leo DiCaprio, and he was going to win an Oscar before Leo DiCaprio.
And then he ended up winning one for The Revenant. Was that the one?
The Revenant, yeah, yes, sir.
Which, I mean, sure, but then you're thinking about all these other roles that he probably should have won for.
Oh, yeah.
That are better. I mean, objectively, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and you know, say that, like, one shiny coin is not better than this other shiny coin, you know, other than, you know, market value. But come on, I just don't care. And that's one reason why when I heard that Suicide Squad got an Oscar, I understand that it's a big deal for recognition for superhero films. And for that, I guess it's a positive. No matter what film won, because at this point, it's like there needs to be. I get your point as to saying like that got recognition, but these other great films didn't. That's sort of the same thing as this actor got recognition, but this other actor didn't, because only so many can be nominated. Who cares about who the Oscars say are good? I think we say who, like, what is good, you know? And when I mean we, I mean us in our community, us in the fandom. What is good? What isn't good? You know, how many people shat all over BVS, and we're honestly relatively nice to it, all things considered.
Yeah, I could have said a lot worse about BBS, but there were a lot of things good in that movie.
So many people were saying bad things about it that I'm like, I didn't hate the film. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. So why try to focus on the bad? Let's look at what's good. Let's take that movie and go, man, what was good about this movie? And then you have Wes, who loved the movie, gave it a damn 9 or something, or damn near 10 on like the Nerds of the Round Table 2 or whatever it was, which shocked the hell out of me. I'm like, man, I've heard nothing but people hate on that movie, and then he loved it. I think it's more important, like, what do we think about it, not what do these people in suits think about it.
I agree with that. Now, Brando, real quick, I got a little bit of late breaking news for you here. Before we move on to our final topic, I'm going to share two little quick headlines. I just want immediate reactions. I'm sure this first one you probably don't care about. I've never heard you talk about this series, but allegedly Disney wants to reboot Tron with Jared Leto in the lead position character role.
You mean instead of Bridges?
Yep.
Pass.
Pass. Okay, next thing. If you're in a time crunch and you go to see Logan, it does not have a post-credit scene. No, zero, zilp, zitch, nada. They do not have any post-credit scenes for Logan. So when you're done crying at the end of the movie, drive your ass home or go get yourself some ice cream and cheer the fuck up.
Man, I don't think I'm going to get a chance to see that movie.
You'll see it. It just won't be in theaters.
And you see, and I really want to see it in theaters too. And, you know, because I think it's a token of, like, looking at Hugh Jackman and how many years he's put into that character. No other actor has portrayed a character on screen, on the big screen, as long, like, when I mean comic book character, for as long as he has, and dedicated so much of his life to it. And I want to owe it to that character, because I like his character in almost all the movies, even though might not like the movies themselves, so, and you know for some of them, but it's just a matter of work, time, podcasts, kids, and it's like Zelda, and it's like, crap, I ain't got time, man. And so and it's like it's easier to go see a movie when I can convince like the missus to go, because then we can get somebody to watch the kid, right, you know? But then it's like, she's like, eh, I don't really care. I'm like, well, I guess I either am going to have to go do what I did for Deadpool, go see it at 11 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday by myself, feeling like such a loser, or just have to wait. And I might just go wait, because I can't conceive of a time where I might be able to go see Logan.
Now, Brando, I have one more thing, but of course my phone's decided to be the absolute worst. So let's go ahead and move on to our Walking Dead 165 review. What the hell, Brando? There's a lot of stuff that goes on in this issue of The Walking Dead. Let's break it down. What did you think to start?
It was a good issue.
Yeah, very good issue. A lot to digest.
It was a lot to digest. A lot of jumping around. A lot of things coming in. The Saviors moving in. Negan and Rick, more going on there. Rick saves Negan's life. Negan's a little bit overconfident dealing with those walkers outside the little cabin there. And then he said, who gets bit nowadays, knowing all the rules? Not me. That's, and he almost gets bit. And then Rick shoots him, shoots the Walker in the back of the head. And then Negan kind of jokes about it afterwards when he goes back inside, saying that, are we best friends yet?
He's like, wow, I guess we can call it. We can, you know, we're, this thing's heating up a little bit, you know, which I love that interaction between those two. Because it's building closer and closer and closer and closer to Rick submitting and being really like, hey, man, I used to hate your guts, Negan, and now, like, you didn't replace Glenn, but damn it, you know, in some ways, Glenn might be proud of who you've become, you know?
And there's a – Rick says – okay, so they're trying to go out the front door and trying to thin out the herd and try and make a run for it. And then they go back inside and they go out back to do the same thing. And they, Rick says they're going to go switch back and forth until it's thin enough where they can pass. So Negan's in the back. Rick's trying to cover him the best he can. Rick calls him to come back. And Negan says, no, I got this, you know, starting to thin out over here. So notice that Rick called for him to come back, that it was getting too shady out there. So he's looking out for his, not only just, I need you to survive, but looking out for his well-being.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's kind of a thing of beauty there with those two. Now, on the other side of the fence, there's a lot. Like I said, there's a lot going on in this episode or in this issue. Carl is leading the Hilltop refugees, if you will, that have escaped the burning Hilltop, fighting what is in Alexandria right now, which is this gigantic horde of walkers. And just being smart, and you know, Lydia says she feels alive, you know. It's the happiest she seems in this book at this point. Another thing that we notice is that if the jig is up, Brando, they know Eugene has a radio now.
Yep. Was it Siddick?
Yeah, Siddick finds it.
Yeah, they actually heard a voice through it. They heard the female. I can't remember her name.
Stephanie in Ohio.
Yep.
I feel like Larry King right now. Stephanie in Ohio.
Hello. Yeah, man. So they know that's going on. Dwight's group was they're at the front gate trying to thin out the herd there. And then they get kind of jumped by the Saviors.
Backstabbing sons of bitches. We knew they were going to attack at some point.
We knew, yeah, they were on the way, and they decided to make their move and got a hold of Dwight and Heath. They have Heath as well. And then on the other side, with the group trying to drive the herd into the ocean, that would be what Michonne, Jesus, Eugene, and Andrea. Maybe there's a couple more in there that I'm missing.
Not Dante. He's with Maggie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they pretty much jumped around to everybody who's involved at this point.
Yeah, they're trying to thin the herd, to get the herd out of Alexandria, to keep from having too much damage done to the community before it's too late. Because, you know, supplies are still limited in this world.
Yeah.
And what we know as the reader, but unfortunately what the group does not know, being in that story in real time, if you will, is that as we found out, the Saviors are now attacking. So now they're almost starting another war.
Yeah.
And maybe this gets really quickly handled and, you know, somebody comes to the rescue and takes out their leader and they surrender or something. Or maybe not. Maybe this is just a elongation of war. But I'm saying again, man, Beta's still out there somewhere. And Kirkman is not going to just forget that character and write him off.
No.
He'll be back. He'll be back in a big way, and he's going to take somebody out. And I don't know when that's coming. But before we get to that point, this issue throws us for... before I get to the major twist, Eugene is super exhausted and still fighting and helping the team. And, you know, he had barely slept. He had done all this work and road to get everything ready for this, you know, the battle. And then, obviously, what happens is he almost dies because he's not strong enough to keep going. But luckily, Andrea is there for the save. However, it seems that came at a cost, Brando.
She got bit.
And it's not like Herschel. We can't just cut her head off.
Right in the neck.
Right in the neck. That's gonna smart, man. I think that this is a. I mean, honestly, it was a mate. I had told Veronica before I started reading the issue. I felt there was a major character death coming, and this is not confirmed that Andrea is absolutely dead. You know, we don't know. Maybe they have medicine or something that can save her, or some way that can keep it from, you know, spreading quickly if they can get back to Alexandria in the safe zone. But it seems in this moment that we're losing a major character that's been a part of the book for a very, 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 very long time.
And not to mention is very, very close to Rick and Carl at this point. And
correct. I mean, Carl calls her mom.
Exactly. I think this is, and it's different. It's not like she got shot. She got killed. It's not like she got beaten with a bat. It wasn't like she got hoarded by zombies and like covered and torn apart. Something that we haven't seen in a long time. She got bit and she's still up and moving. And it's going to be a slow turn.
Yeah. And we don't know. And like I said, we don't know if that turn will turn, but we can only assume that the worst is going to happen, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's going to. And it's going to be that old, inevitable, like... how ironic is it that she goes out in a way that in this world now is so preventable, almost?
Yeah.
Where, you know...
you just have to, you know, keep your guard up.
Well, I mean, and really, it's Eugene's fault in a way, yeah, for being so exhausted and for pushing himself further and being insistent, and then her trying to save him because of how valuable Eugene is and for the good of the group, and it ultimately cost her life. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because then now if she makes it back and is able to live enough to say goodbye to Rick,
oh,
Negan's going to have to watch Rick lose someone who's so close to him like that. Like Negan,
which,
like Negan lost.
I was just getting ready to say, exactly like Lucille, yeah.
And it's going to, and it's, and so interesting that he just discussed that in the prior issue, you know,
with Rick.
And now Rick, unbeknownst, is now losing Andrea in the same way, just like he lost Lori, you know?
Yeah. Now, do you think, well, Lori was a little bit more violent and tragic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she got shot through the gut by the governor, but...
well, was it the governor or was it
not
Lily?
Governor, it was...
it was Lily.
Laura?
Lily.
Lily, it was Lily. Lily, yeah, Lily, sorry. But by the governor's group, but... I tell you, man, that one came as a big shocker. Now, also in this issue of The Walking Dead, it's not resolved yet, but it seems Heath might die. I can't tell if he was stabbed in that panel or if he's being choked. But the look of the gal in the background in that scene, whose name I can't remember, Dwight's kind of love interest girlfriend, looks shocked, like he has just met his end. But they didn't, again, they don't resolve it. We kind of jump away from what's going on there and never come to really a conclusion. So shit is really awry right now in Alexandria. The Walking Dead has just ramped up and again delivered another gut punch, man. Here we are, issue 165. It's just issue 165. You wouldn't think anything of it. And it's that we just had the death of Andrea. And, brutal, you know?
Or the oncoming death of Andrea.
That's a better way to put it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a really good read, really good issue. A lot of stuff going on, though. It's really easy to get lost.
Now, the next time we get an issue is going to be after LafayCon.
That's unfortunate, because how cool would it be to, like, this is like The Walking Dead's been a mainstay. We've been reviewing The Walking Dead since pretty much the podcast started. And it's been the only constant. I mean, there's been times where we've fallen back from reviewing it so much, or reviewing comics at all. But now we've had a kind of renewed interest in, like, reviewing a book each week. Let's keep, you know, I mean, we're journeying to comics, for gosh sakes. So, but with, we've had a lot of Walking Dead. We had, like, three issues very, very, you know, rapidly. Almost like every other episode has been Walking Dead the last couple of weeks. And
yep.
So it is unfortunate, because it would be neat to do that, do this, to review Walking Dead in a live setting, something that, as a comic, both you and I have extensive knowledge on and can riff on very, very openly. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. But I liked this issue of The Walking Dead again. It was a great, a lot of story being told there, a lot of things turning, a lot of things in play right now leading to this next thing. Now, the question I have is, do you think that Rick is going to have a, like, a rebirth snapping point and maybe goes after Beta? I mean, ultimately, this is Beta's fault.
Yeah.
He led the walkers to the gates of Alexandria. He started this war. That whole group really kind of started this war back in issue 144 when they killed Rosita and Ezekiel and everybody.
Yeah.
And you know, and all Rick and them, all they were trying to do was just, you know, keep Lily safe because Carl had shown interest in her. And you know, here we are. And I don't think Rick is going to be a happy person when this is all said and done, Brando. And I think if we're going to see the rebirth of the rage known as Rick Grimes, like issue 5 going crazy Rick Grimes, or, you know, outsmarting Negan Rick Grimes, we're going to see another evolution of this character that takes him down what I believe is a darker and maybe a final path. Maybe Rick doesn't recover from this.
Well, he's also going to have Negan on his shoulder, too.
That's true.
So how does that play into it? How is Negan going to use this? Or is he going to use it? How is he going to play off this? Because Negan's character arc has taken some interesting turns. And so would he let Rick make such decisions, you know? Would he be that angel or devil on the shoulder when whichever one Rick needs? And I think Negan would understand which one Rick needs to hear when.
Yeah, and that's interesting to contemplate too. Will Negan essentially become more like TV show Morgan of, you know, Rick Grimes? there's always another way, you know.
Well, and see, Maybe in a way, but at the same time, this is Negan where he's like, maybe we can need to kill the motherfucker.
Yeah, that's super true and possible.
Because he understands the need for it. He understands, like, there are times when you can do it, and there's times where you just need to go kill a motherfucker. He goes, and trust me, I'm not gonna. It's what I would do, but maybe that's not what Rick should do. You know. I cannot. That's another thing that I said last time that we reviewed The Walking Dead. I can't wait to see this interaction with Negan and Rick happen on the show, because I love the swagger. Because when the Negan in the books, and maybe this is just my interpretation, he doesn't really have swagger to me, and I love how Jeffrey Dean Morgan has added the swagger, because it's different and it's so fucking cocky, but. The words and the cadence is sort of there too in the book. So maybe it's just how I associate the drawing of Negan with how I read the words, that it doesn't initially come off as having a lot of, like, coolness and swagger, where in the show, when he delivers a line, he has me captivated because it's so entertaining.
Yeah. I think that Dean Morgan has done a great job bringing this character to life. You said it best. The Negan in the comic is not exactly what Jeffrey Dean Morgan does. But I think that I'm saying that in the most respectful way, because he adds an element that is charming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might be the quality that is lacking in the book, is that you don't see his charm. Charm is something really hard to convey with just words.
Yeah.
Charm is about that, as you said it, that swagger, that gravitas, that how you carry yourself, you know? And I agree with you. He just does something to that role that enhances that character. And, it's one of those things that at some point I wonder if we're going to notice a change in how Kirkman writes Negan, keeping Jeffrey Dean Morgan's future in mind.
Interesting. I mean, he doesn't really let the show guide him. And I think he's proven that. But then I think he's let the show influence the comics. I mean, all you got to do is look at Dwight and the creation of Dwight and think, was this in response to Daryl? Is this sort of his little wink at Daryl? Then in the show, now we have both. How, and I want to say the actor who plays Dwight considers Dwight to be almost like the opposite side of the coin to Daryl. It's like these guys could be very much the same person, very similar.
Or very not similar and against each other.
We'll see with them being on the other side of the coin. It's like their characters kind of in the same, from the same background, from the same token. And then, but them being at different sides of the coin, they're at odds. They are locked into, they're never going to be on the same side. And, the creation of Dwight in the comics comes in and he has the crossbow and he has, you know, the vest, and it's like, wink and a nod to the show here. And honestly, I think it was. I think it was just his little, let's do this and let's make a new character out of it instead of just bringing somebody in. Because I know that Kirkman doesn't like to let the other facets of The Walking Dead interrupt his vision. Because he has a different vision for the show than what he does for the comics. And same with like the video game realm where they have like, Clementine. He doesn't let that overly influence anything else, so...
Yeah. So, Brando, I've just pulled something up that I wanted to read from the letter hacks. I know I had said that we should sometimes do this, but somebody wrote in and asked some pretty good questions. This is from Mike in Canada.
Hello, Mike in Canada.
Hello, Mike in Canada. This is it says, Kirkman, just read 163. Everyone still has plot armor. Yay. Plot armor meaning that they're divisive and you can't kill somebody because they're a part of the plot. And obviously, Sean and Kirkman respond with, oh, really, Mike? You wrote too soon. And, So the questions are as follows. Will Maggie ever find out Carl killed Ben? They respond with, you mean Andrea, and she knows. Will Eugene ever find out who got Rosita pregnant? They respond, yes. Will Maggie ever find out that Rick is allowing Negan to run free? I love this. This is why I brought this up. They respond, oh, yes. Will Eugene ever tell anyone about Stephanie in Ohio? Definitely. Well, he's just pretty much got busted out, so of course they're going to tell him. And the last one says, do you ever forget about certain plot lines and never resolve them? Thanks, bye, Mike in Canada. And the final answer is nope, hasn't happened yet. It happened once in Invincible, but it was so minor no one even noticed. So, oh man, and I'm just re-looking at Andrea being bit. It's weird, Brando, because I actually don't see a spot in this where she could have even got bit.
It was right at the end, man, and they hit it well for the big reveal. They did hide it pretty well, because I went back and looked at those other panels where, you know, they were trying to get on the horse and get out of that herd, and they obscured that spot with clothing, so that way when you get the reveal, it's right there, because I didn't see it right away. With this being black and white, man, I read comics so fast sometimes that I miss detail. Like, I don't know if you have that problem, but I have to go
back.
I
do sometimes.
But I miss detail. I miss, especially with some of these panels and these recent issues being so small. Like, I focus in on the text, and I try and see who's reading it. And some of these characters, I don't know about you, but I forget who they are because they're not really major parts.
If they don't use their names to address each other, it gets difficult as shit sometimes.
I know. And, okay, so you get to that last panel, and she says, oh, shit. And I'm thinking that – so then I went back up to the prior panel to see if there was somebody behind the character that called out to Andrea. And I'm like, what? Like, what's she reacting to? And then I went back to that next panel and I saw her neck and went, oh, man. In fact, I'm pretty sure I said, oh, fuck. And
yeah,
went, oh, man, this is going to be good.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that is Magna is who is with her.
That was those are the characters that came in right at the very beginning of.
Of the time hop, yeah.
Of the time jump. See, I keep forgetting, because I keep forgetting the name with the face, and I have a hard time. They introduce so many new characters with the time jump that I am not keeping the faces with the name. It's almost like when you first start watching Game of Thrones and they have all these weird-ass names, and you just start making up your own names for them.
Yeah, you're just like, that one chick. Dude, with two U's.
Sir Barristan, he was the Kingsguard, the old guy.
Yeah.
Me and Nick Torres referred to him as Big Boss. I mean, Nick knew his name, but I could never remember his name. So I just called him Big Boss, and he knew who I was talking about.
Well, that works.
That old, yeah, and then it was Khaleesi. I mean, you remember Khaleesi. But then there were some people. There was Wilder Frey from Harry Potter. He was, that guy played, oh crap! No, I can't remember the Harry Potter name. He was like the groundskeeper or like the janitor. He's the guy with Mrs. Norris, the cat.
Yeah, I can't think of his name.
Oh crap! See, because the thing is now I know him as Wilder Frey, but when he first started, I kept calling him that guy, which I'm having a brain fart. I can't remember him because he was in the movies as that character. But. Yeah, I thought this was a really good issue. And then, of course, you said Beta still after. They haven't touched with Beta for a little while. They've been kind of going forward with the big conflict with Alexandria. And then, of course, the looming Saviors. Of course, they come in, and the Saviors shot the walkers that were right there in front of Dwight and company. And now feel like they have, like, they now... like. I don't think they realize how spread out some of these characters are and how they could end up getting jumped too. Cause you have different groups of people in different areas. There's a few inside Alexandria and there's a few outside.
Brando, I think that something might have just happened in the internet world. I'm going to pull this up really quick. This might be our final, like, breaking headline. I just got notified that allegedly a Deadpool 2 trailer was just leaked. And I don't know if this is satire or if this is real. So I'm going to watch it on my phone real quick here with the volume pretty much turned off and see if it looks like a real trailer. Or if it's just somebody being creative with fan art. Usually you can tell, you know.
Sometimes they reuse old footage.
Yeah, exactly.
A new trailer.
Let's see.
Trying to keep my phone away from the Zoom because when I've noticed that when I have my phone closer to the Zoom, it does that whole kind of interference type static noise.
Oh, yeah.
But like... for the last part of this podcast, I've pretty much just taken off my glasses and I've been doing the most. I'm sitting in the dark in the game room anyway. So a lot of times when I do the podcast and I don't have articles up, I just sit here with my eyes closed and talk to you.
Hey, that's the best way to do it, man. I know you got your eye issue anyways, so.
Well, I mean, it's not even that. It's just like
I'm not looking at anything. Like, I'm just sitting here and I just stare. See, I sometimes I have a problem where you'll be talking and I'll be looking at something in my game room and I'll get lost in thought and into what I'm looking at. And then I go, oh crap, I need to go back and listen to him because he's making a point. And then I'm going to sound like an idiot. And now, since I don't have my glasses on, I can't see my phone, so I got to hold it closer. Deadpool. Oh, so you sent it.
Yeah, I sent it to you. It looks like it might be like possibly legit. I'm tempted to actually play. I'm not listening to it, so I don't know what the audio is saying. Is the only issue. But allegedly, it seems very it seems very Deadpool-esque. You know.
I'm loading it up right now. The unfortunate thing is that I've tried playing a trailer. I have the computer hooked up to the Zoom, and I guess I haven't tried playing a trailer through this to see, because when I tried to do the trailer for Mass Effect on Game Addicts, it did the music, the loud noises, but none of the dialogue, and it was like, man, this is weird. So we just didn't do it. We just had some crappy audio playing from the computer that the mics captured, and then I overlaid the image or the actual trailer on the video. Okay, replay video. I want to try and also have... See, I can't have it too close because then I get interference from my phone. And I'm having some problems with... Man, if you scroll down, you get some big-breasted women.
Oh, jeez.
Sexy weekend women that would make you wish it could last forever. Man, see, I don't want it to last forever, though, because then you don't have times for comic books or video games. See, that's the problem with being a nerd. You know what? It's like you can get the girl, but it's like you got other priorities.
Oh, the complexities of what you're saying and the lack of ability to talk at nauseam.
It's true though, man. It's like there are times where it's like, I don't want women right now. I just want to sit here and play a fucking video game and read my comic book. Leave me alone. I can't get this to play or replay. So,
oh, I wonder if they took it down. I just,
well, it says replay just... video, and I'm clicking on it, and it's saying no.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and kind of, I mean, again, I can't hear it, so I don't know.
No.
But it seems that Deadpool is trying to, if this is in fact real, it's outside of a theater that has Logan on the marquee, and he's in the telephone booth trying to change into his Deadpool gear, kind of a play on Superman being in a telephone booth, but... Yeah. He can't get it. I think he might have just zipped his dick up. You can't tell he's freaking out and he's panicking, and then he's getting the rest of the way dressed, and he comes out and he's like ninja and he starts running down the alley, and there's newspapers flying by him, and he's running really fast, and he stops, and it looks he's talking, but again, I can't hear what he's saying, so I don't know if this is really Ryan Reynolds or if this is just some...
I'm gonna
some BSery.
I'm going to click on
okay.
it.
Okay.
Because now I got it.
Okay. There's a bum. Woo!
Oh, come on. What was going on? It's having problems loading.
And he just lays down on this dead guy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, dude, like this is having like so many problems loading. Like that I just like saw the part where he's like in the telephone booth and it just kept starting and stopping. So I'm just probably just gonna have to watch it after we get off the air here. Maybe we'll talk about it next week since it's been leaked, maybe they'll just go, all right, let's put an HD version out.
Yeah. But it says Deadpool coming not soon enough. And that's the end of the trailer that I saw. So
right on.
All right, Brenda, was there anything you wanted to add this week? We're running down on the juice
of the pad of eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down to four percentile.
Yeah, and the little one's ready for bed too, so I need to go and help out with that and make sure he gets to bed.
All right, man. Well, this was an excellent episode 128 of Journey into Comics.
128, man. We're getting up there in the numbers.
Getting all up in them numbers. It's pretty cool. We're not super far away from 200, realistically.
Well, I mean, we're getting ever closer, and, you know, 130 will be here in 2 weeks. It won't be, of course, it's not a milestone or anything like that, but... I mean, LifeCon is a milestone, though. 132 is it will be a big milestone. Our second live show ever. Come out and see us on April 1st and 2nd. We'll be there both days hosting this, all the panels and the goings on. We'll be there. You can come up and talk to us when we're not hosting a panel, and we'll be glad to talk to you all about our podcast and everything that we do. And we'll be hosting our live show. I do believe it's going to be on Saturday. That's what I've requested, at least. And I have not talked to the organizers yet to get back with them. I want to go back and have another meeting with them and hang out and, have a good old time. But I do believe, did we talk about ticket prices?
I don't think we've talked about ticket prices. And there's a couple after-party event things, too.
There are. I do believe a weekend pass... is like $10 for both days. It's not expensive at all. And then I think for one day, I want to say, was it like $6 for one day? Let me get on the actual. If you go on the official LifeCon event page, you will be able to see all this stuff in its magical glory. However, I have turned off my Wi-Fi to help out with our connection issues. So therefore, I'm having trouble loading it because I'm just going over my data. Isn't that lovely, Nate?
Oh, it's the worst.
All right, I actually have it up now. Guess what? I got it. 2-day adult pass, $10. 2-day student pass, must valid student ID. I must have a valid student ID, I should say. They don't have the have in there. It'd be $8. So, and 1-day adult pass is $6. Just like I said there, a student pass for 1 day is $5. Kids 6 to 12, $1 and 5 and under are free. On Saturday, April 1st, doors open at 11 and close at 6. The after party doors open at 8. The music begins at 9 p.m. Then on the 2nd, on Sunday, the 2nd day of LifeCon, doors open at noon, and then they'll close at 5. And then we will be there for both days, having such a great time. So looking forward to this, dude. I cannot wait to host and this thing with you.
That music that starts at 9 at Geraldine's Pub.
Yeah, about that. And Geraldine's Pub is like right there too, isn't it? It's like it's right there, like next door somewhere.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So that's pretty excellent. But if you bring your LifeCon wristband over there,
yeah,
it's only $1 to get into the after party. And 9 o'clock, we, Walk Among Us, are opening the show, which is awesome. The Lurking Corpses are playing. They're incredible. They're scary horror punk, and they wear masks, and I love it. And Knight of the Round is playing, Brando, and I don't know if you know about them, but they are Final Fantasy Metal. They do instrumentals with Final Fantasy songs, metal style. It's bad as hell. They're very unique and interesting.
I actually do know about them. I haven't seen them. I've been meaning to see them like the past couple of years. But, of course, we have been busy. Uh-oh. I think we're going to have a guest on the show coming into my game room. By the way, he's learned how to yell daddy, by the way. I don't know if you can hear him. Hi, buddy. Are you ready to go to bed? Oh, well, definitely going to be a great, great weekend. I'm looking forward to to seeing Walk Among Us, because even as your friend and co-host, I haven't seen the band yet.
Yeah, not in our live incarnation, which I'm excited. You heard a little bit when you guys were up, but I'm excited to do that show. It's going to be a lot of fun. That weekend's going to be very busy, mm-hmm. Lots to do, but it's going to all be worth it, man. Oh, and man. I can't wait. Great. Yeah, man. But if that's going to do it for this week of Journey into Comics, again, this is episode 128. You can get us on all those different social medias Brandon mentioned. Make sure you follow us. Try to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, because that shit matters, kind of, not really at all.
Give us some reviews. It'll help us. Give us some ratings and reviews, because it will actually help people find us a little bit more and spread the word and the gospel of Journey into Comics. And of course, as Nate said, he's going to post that picture on our Instagram. Go follow us there at Journey into Comics. We're on JIC Podcast on Twitter, where we do share our shows. And then we are also on Facebook at Journey into Comics Podcast. And then I think that is it. You can listen to our show. I don't know if you found the show on accident. Did you know that you can subscribe to us on iTunes and on Podbean and on Stitcher Radio and on Google Play Music and on Podcast Addict, or go to journeyinthecomics.podbean.com, where you can find all of the episodes, all 128 of them, for your listening
plus
pleasure.
All our other shows
and all the other shows. The Game Addicts, the old episodes are here, the new ones are over there on their new RSS feed. Just go over there, gameaddictspodcast.podbean.com. They're on all the other stuff I said too. Search there, you can get both, and you can listen to Journey to Wrestling once or twice a month, Game Addicts, the old stuff like I said, and then Foodies Watching Movies once or twice a month, or whenever they decide to do their show.
We're coming out of hibernation, I promise, folks. We've got a couple big episodes for Foodies planned.
That's awesome.
We're just trying to get the logistics down.
I love listening to Foodies, man. It's awesome. And I had a lot of fun being on, and I can't wait to be on again and watch Batman Returns.
Oh, it's going to be so good. Oh, I can't wait. That's going to be so awesome. I have an idea. We're going to do some, like, colder foods.
Hell yeah. Because,
you know, and maybe some fish as a main course. Because, again,
he eats the fish in that one scene.
Yeah. And then also cats eat fish and penguins eat fish.
And then, worse, his nose could be gushing blood.
Oh, gross. That's like one of my favorite scenes in that movie, though. He bites that dude's nose off. All right, Brando. Well, if that's going to do it for this week at JIC, as always, I'm Nate.
I'm Brando.
We'll catch you guys at 129, all right?
See you next week, guys.
Later.